pull it back up to our scripture. Share with me now. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Let's pray. Father, we're here today to worship You, to honor You, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we know that You are looking to and fro all over this world, wanting to see people who have a loyal heart to You. And Father, we now offer ourselves to You in worship, song, and praise. Speak to us in the Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Looking at God's Word today kind of comes from many different places. One of the places that it comes from is helping us to understand something that's going on around us. Did anybody eat eggs this morning? I did. I ate eggs. Did you know that 500,000 eggs have been recalled from a disease called salmonella? Yeah, that's right. That's it. And so inside of that, it's kind of interesting to think about, where does this come from? I was reading an article today, and it said that it possibly came from rodents, and it's a little bit gross, right? There is a meaning to this story. Rodents' droppings, okay? And the chickens eat the rodents' droppings, or it was an infected chicken, or it was infected feed that the chickens ate. In so much that you cannot wash off the infection or the disease on the egg because it's on the inside of the egg. Now, how many of you want to have an egg sandwich for lunch? No. Okay. But the point is, all of a sudden, something so innocent to us can be hidden away and just kind of stream up to it. I'm going to carry you on a journey today. We're going to be looking at the book of Judges in verses chapter 17 and 18. But in order for me to get you there, I've got to carry you back a long ways. And I'm going to introduce you to something you possibly have never heard before, but you've got to see it in context. If you see it in context of the story that we're going to be reading this morning, we're going to be reading in Judges 17:18, because we've been studying through the book of Judges. The last judge recorded was that of Samson. Now, there's four other chapters that are left in the book of Judges that seemingly these stories just come out of nowhere, but yet they're so in such great detail that God put it in the book. And because of this great detail, now we must seek to understand, God, what are You trying to say to us today? And so therefore, we're going to go back, and we're going to bring you forward, and then we're going out into the future. Let me carry you back to the book of the writings of Moses. It's found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt in the bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." What is this commonly known as? This is commonly known as the first two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, okay? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Second commandment, thou shalt have no graven images. Now, why is that so important? I want to go back to the rat droppings. Because it's that gross, but it's that real. Okay? I hope I'm not offending you by using this terminology. No other gods. No images. God says it at the very beginning, no images. That's called idolatry. Now, the reason why you got to see where I'm coming from is that when we hit chapter 17 and 18, that story is going to occur at the end of the life of Joshua. Joshua judges, okay? Joshua, end of Joshua, entering into the book of Judges. At the end of Joshua, we're going to see idolatry, the droppings of idolatry is going to come forth, and we're going to see that disease even today. Now, that's how crude what I'm trying to communicate with you is in the difficulty this morning. Number one, I want you to understand the commandment, okay? That commandment, and when we understand this, we are seeking God with a pure heart. A pure heart seeks to worship God only without any distractions. God says, look, I am a jealous God. I am, and I'm not going to allow anything to come into competition with me. I'm a jealous God. Now, when he says that, no competition. I carry you to the choice. The choice is found in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. The scripture says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Ammonites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All of a sudden, a pure heart is going to recognize a choice. You've got to make a choice. Here's the commandment. It's very plain. Now Joshua says at the end of his life, he says, okay, church, you got to make a decision. Are you going to choose me? Are you going to choose the other gods of idolatry? That leads us into Dan, Joshua chapter 18. Joshua chapter 18. I want you to fast forward into Judges. Go with me the book of Judges. This is where we're going to come back to. But I want you to read in Judges chapter 18 verse 31. So they set up themselves Micah's carved image that he made, and it was there as long as the house of God was in Shiloh. Okay, what's happening right here? Let me bring you up to date. When the children of Israel, when they came to the promised land, when they set up housekeeping, when Joshua came in and they started winning over all of the land, they took the temple, they took the Ark of the Covenant, and they set it up in Shiloh. That's where the nation of Israel, that's where the Ten Commandments were located, and that's where the people were to come and to worship the Lord, seeking the face of the Lord, was there in Shiloh. But what did we hear? And we're going to see this developing. All of a sudden, now, here is one of the tribes of Israel setting up a house in Dan. This is the northern part of Israel, not in Shiloh where the covenant was. And what you're going to discover here, when it was set up with idolatry, with images. And so now, all of a sudden, what we see here, Dan, we see the key word there, corruption. But a pure heart worships God in spirit and in truth. Now, with a corrupted, with the droppings there at the end of Joshua, entering into Dan, and this corruption now carries all the way through, and we're going to see how that corruption is in something so simple, but yet so profound. I fast forward you to the church. I look into the day of Jesus Christ. A pure heart is like a coin. With one side, it will be love God. With the other side, it will be love your neighbor. The scripture says in Mark 12:29, This is the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, what we are focusing in on, here's the church. Love God. Love your neighbor. Simon Peter recognized, said of the Lord Jesus, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A woman now was approached by Jesus. She was a Gentile. She was up, and Jesus spoke to her in John chapter 14. Jesus said to her, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Nowhere in the Bible do we find a picture, a painting of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know what Jesus looks like. God in His foreknowledge and in His will and His word, He said, no pictures. If you see a picture and you say, oh, that's Jesus, all you're looking at is an artist's rendition of a man, of a peaceful man, in whom now many people have said, oh, this is Jesus. But what does the Bible say back in Exodus? What was the command? No images, no gods, no similitudes. To all of a sudden, has that rat droppings come down the line, and all of a sudden we seem something so simple, so harmless. But is it in light of the church losing sight that God is spirit and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit? Let's carry this. Carry this. I want to carry you now to the church's foundation. A pure heart is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, For of other foundation no man can lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He is the foundation. And now with Him being the foundation, where do we come into this picture? Because a pure heart is going to build upon this foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you fit into this picture? The Scripture says in 1 Peter 2:4, To whom becoming as unto living stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So what are we saying right here? We are saying that the church now is made up of believers, lively stones, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says in Acts 2:47, And the Lord added unto the church daily such as were being saved. Now, follow me. We've seen a commandment. We've seen a choice. We now look at a tribe of Israel that corrupted it. We're now moving into the New Testament. We now find a foundation there, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. It's not a picture. It's not a man hanging on a cross. I'm not knocking the cross. Please don't hear that. But it's not a man that we visualize, that we touch, that we sense. Because you see, we're incurably worshiped. We like to reach out and touch something. We like to reach down and bow down to something. We like to say, oh, this is Jesus. Man, I can get the warm and fuzzies by looking at this. And all of a sudden, no similitude. All of a sudden, the commandment being watered down. Now I begin to recognize, here's Jesus Christ. Here's the foundation. We are believers. We're saved. We're built on this foundation. And now all of a sudden, we begin to grow. We begin to experience. And we begin to experience life. And we share in the same sufferings that Paul did, that the early church did, that John did. There were sufferings there. But wait a minute. Now I'm going to carry you past, not past the Revelation, but I'm carrying you past all the books in the Bible beyond, before the Revelation. Okay? I'm not carrying you past the Revelation. inside of this picture. I'm going to carry you to the age 322 BC. I'm carrying you to a man whose name's Constantine. I'm carrying you that the early church as we know it, as Paul knew it, as Stephen knew it, a suffering, persecuted church. I'm carrying you to the Roman Empire in which it was illegal to be a Christian. I'm carrying you now to a man named Constantine in 322, who said, he looked up in the sky and he saw this image and he said, in this sign, conquer. And he says, that sign must be the signs of Christians. And so now Constantine says in 322, he says, we will go, we will defeat. And they did. And so now he says, Christianity is the way. It is now no longer an illegal religion. It is now a legal religion. But Constantine did this. Constantine maintained the relationship with the pagan temple. What happened was that all these temples now, with Christianity being legal and the others being put down, Isis and all the other Greek gods, their names were changed. The temples were changed, and they now called them St. Paul, St. Peter, St. Mary. And now the pagans that were there, they bowed down and they worshiped these statues. 322. So that now the church, rather than building on the foundation laid upon the commandments of God, no similitude, no action, all of a sudden, now man begins to put his hands and create a religion. And you're going to see this in Daniel. You're going to see this if time permits. We're going to get there. And now all of a sudden, these statues are being worshipped. In the so-called churches of today, these statues are, people are bowing down, kissing, bowing down, worshiping, and they say, oh, we know that that's not, no person, no Greek in that period of time would have bowed down before Diana, the great goddess Diana, and say that statue is Diana. They would have said, this is a similitude. This is a likeness. I know that that's not Diana, but this is Diana's likeness. And so therefore, they would say, I know this is not Simon Peter. I know this is not Mary, but this is a likeness. Now, fast forward. 622 BC. After Constantine, after he called himself Maximus, which was the high priest, and all of a sudden there was development of this priesthood, of this fatherhood, 300 years it began to develop. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So 300 years in the presence of God, just like that. 622. Rising to the scene, a man named Mohammed. Mohammed rises and starts having his writings, and a vile man with vile people who followed him, their primary goal was to destroy idolatry. Okay? Their primary goal was to destroy idolatry in the world. The Greek temples were gone. So where did they attack? They attacked the churches to destroy the idols. And if you went into Anthem, you would see all of the statues. None of the statues had heads on them because of the Mohammed Islam, because this was a reaction against idolatry. Dr. W.A. Criswell said in a sermon in 1960, he says, look, this was the reaction. And he said, church, You're not through with the Muslims. You're not through with Islam. You're not through with Mohammed. It is still. Now, capture this though. Are you with me? We started out back here. No similitudes, no idols, no idolatry. We went, we saw it in Dan. We came to Christ. Christ cleaned this stuff up. He said, here's the right way. Here's the foundation. Live upon me. And then all of a sudden, man sticks his hand into it. And when he sticks his hand into it, then man starts creating idols and starts bowing down and worshiping. And then God brings forth His wrath against idolatry, insomuch that He raises up one of the sons of Abraham. Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Jacob. Isaac. Two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Out of that lineage, Ishmael. Did I get it right? Now, all of a sudden, Ishmael is the line of the Arabs, is the line of Muhammad, is the line of Islam. Jacob, Isaac, Jacob, the line of Christian, the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the line of David, the line of Christ, parting across, not ending up at the same place. But now what has happened? A judgment has come. A church formed with apostasy, because what we see here, a pure heart produces good works. And in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 2 says, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Call no man father, Italian, papa, Pope, and call no man. But what happened? Somewheres, way back there, the droppings. And they've moved forth. Now I'm going to carry you to the conclusion. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Remembering now that we are speaking in regards to the book of Judges 17 and 18. We're talking about the establishing of a city. The city is going to be called Dan. We're talking about in Dan the establishing of a way of religion that had idolatry and was the first to poison the stream that went through the rivers of time. Now, what happened? We're going to the roll call of Israel. And when we think about this, a pure heart will have its name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, and I saw four angels standing before the four corners of the earth, the four winds of the earth, the wind should not blow the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice with four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth, and say, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, there were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim, sealed 12,000. Tribe of Manasseh, sealed 12,000. The tribe of Simeon, sealed 12,000. The tribe of Levi, sealed 12,000. Tribe of Issachar, sealed 12,000. Tribe of Zebulun, sealed 12,000. The tribe of Joseph, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, sealed 12,000. Who's missing? There's no mention of the tribe of Dan. When we get to heaven, and when we see the roll call, and could it very well have begun with the droppings back in the day of Judges? Now turn with me to Judges. In a hurried fashion, I'd like to tell you the story. Judges chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. There was a man that came from the country of Ephraim. His name was Micah. Micah went out before them. The scripture says he said to his mother, the 1,100 pieces of silver taken from you that I heard about, you uttered a curse about. Here, I've taken the silver from you. I took it, so now I return it to you. So what is he saying? Here's a boy named Micah. He looked at his own mother, and he looked at the wealth of his own mother, and he stole her money. And you know what she started doing? She started cussing. She started cursing. And her son Micah got so afraid that he went back and said, "Mama, here it is." Well, if you lose 1,100 pieces of silver, what might you try? Cussing and cursing? I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm telling you that's what she did. And when she started cussing and cursing so much, he said, "Mama, here it is." And you know what Mama turned around and said? Out of her mouth, cussing and cursing. Now she says, "Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, my son. You have returned." Isn't that something? And so she said, "This is what we're going to do, honey. We're going to take these 1,100 pieces of silver and we're going to make an idol. We're going to cast an idol to worship." And so, you know what Mama did? She took the 1,100 pieces of silver upon return, and guess how much she gave back? "We're going to give it all, right?" So she gave him 200 pieces. That sounded a little... Y'all remember Ananias and Sapphira? But anyhow, here's 200 pieces. And they took that 200 pieces of silver, and they made this idol. Now, just remember, there's a difference between cursing and emotionalism when it comes to religion. And remember, a spring of poison can develop way back here, but it can literally poison a river. Now, all of a sudden, here's this idol that's before us. We pick it up with verse 7. "There was a young man, a Levite, from Benjamin in Judah, who resisted within the clan of Judah. The man left the town of Bethlehem in Judea to settle wherever he could find. On his way, he came to Micah's house in the hill country of Ephraim." Now, who? You got to stay with me now. Who's these guys? Remember, Micah? That's the one who took his mother's stuff. And now, that's the one who Mom gave him the silver. And that's the one who cast the silver. Now, a Levite comes. A Levite was the one who would lead worship in Israel. All of a sudden, he comes along and he comes up to Micah and said, "Oh, Micah, here, look." Micah said to him, "Won't you come to my house and be a father and be a priest?" Wait a minute. Look in verse 10. Micah replied, "Stay with me and be my father and be my priest." What does the Bible say? Call no man father. But all of a sudden, now here he comes. And so he says, "Look, I'll give you money. I'll buy you." His own personal father, papa, well, priest. And he took the money and said, "I'll stay with you." What happens? The traces of poison of Dan is still around with us today. We understand that. Idolatry still flows, and the curse of idolatry is still causing trouble today. But what do we take away from this? All of a sudden now this man said, "Well, I've got a Levite and I've got an idol. I've got my gods. Man, I've got it all. And now, verse 13 says, then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will be good to me because I have a Levite has become my priest. All of a sudden, chapter 18. The tribe of Dan says, we don't have enough room. They've been hidden up in the mountains because the Canaanites would not allow them to come down. They said, we want more land. And they said, go, let's search out. So they went to the northern part of the country. And there they come across. And they stayed in Micah's house. And while they were in Micah's house, they heard the voice of this Levite. And they went to him and said, look, tell us, is it good for us or not good for us? Oh, he said, go forth, you will prosper. And so these five spies went out into the land and they found this town that was unguarded. What happens? People return, but there's obstacles. Now, and all of a sudden, they go back to the Levites, they go back to the Danites, and these five said, look, we found the city, come go with us. And so they brought 600. They brought these 600 along with them, along with their children and their flocks. And so they went to this city that was at peace, unprotected. And they said, we will go in and we will kill every man, woman, boy, and girl. We will destroy them. On their journey, though, they came by Micah's house. And they said, look, Levite, which is it better for you to be the priest of one man or of a whole tribe of Israel? That Levite did this. He says, look, you've convinced me. And so, what did the Levite do? He went into Micah's house. He took Micah's gods. And he went with the Levite. He went with the Danites, the 600 men. And now they go to this city. And on the way, Micah finds out that he's gone and they've stolen his gods. So Micah brings some of his friends and neighbors and they go up to the Danites. And the Danites said, you better shut your mouth. You open up your mouth, we're going to kill you. You going back home. They looked around. They saw it was more of them than him. Micah went back home. But something interesting kind of appeals to me when I think about what Micah was saying. He said, look, you've taken all my gods. What else is there left? What else is there for me? Because you see, Micah had put all of his hope in his gods. And now with his gods stolen, there was nothing. And for him, there probably was nothing. Because he was worshiping in the gods, not in the God. And now, all of a sudden, Micah goes back. The 600 Danites come along. And they go, they light upon the city. And they destroy the city. And then I'd like for us to pick it up with verse 27. After they had taken the gods of Micah, this is chapter 18. After they had taken the gods of Micah and had made, and the priests that belonged to him, they went to Laish, to a quiet, unsuspecting people. They killed them with their swords, burned the city. There was no one to save them, because it was so far from Sidon, and they had no alliance with anyone. It was in the valley belonged to Beth Rehob. They built the city and lived in it. They named the city Dan, after the name of the ancestors who was born to Israel. The city was formerly Laish. The Danites set up the carved image for themselves. Jonathan, the son of Gershom, son of Moses, that is the Levite, they tell us his name, and his sons were priests for the Danite tribe until the time of the exile from the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image that he had made. And it was there as long as the house of God was in Shiloh. So the story closes here. The house of God, Shiloh. The Danites, city of Dan. They set up the gods. They worshiped the gods. until they went into captivity. Idolatry trickled down through the ages. Today, we still fight with that. Today, we still have trouble with idolatry. Today, God still judges idolatry. Today, what should we as believers do? We should do this. We should go back to the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. As lively stones, we ought to build the structure. And we ought to grow. We ought to share the good news with everybody. Muslims, Hindus, it doesn't matter who. Because God loves them all. And we ought to share them the good news of Jesus Christ so that they may see the error of their way, repent, and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You are a part of something this big. You are a part of the history of God. You are a part of God working through the ages. Do not fall down to the droppings of idolatry. It is very easy to do that because it seems so good. But yet, God has judgment against it. And God will bring judgment against those who fall down their knees and worship them. 4 generations, but to 1,000 generations who love them, He will love you and care for you. Kind of a different message this morning. Taking you back into history. Sharing this. Some of the troubles that we are experiencing today go all the way back. Go all the way back. But you know what? The Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He does not change. And the Bible says, greater is He that is within me than he that's in the world. The Bible says, if you believe Him, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as we read in Revelation chapter 7 of the 12 tribes whose name was there in the roll call, all of those who believe in Christ, names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we are, as we learned in our Sunday school class this morning, we are all eternal creatures. We will either spend eternity with God in heaven, or we will spend eternity in the fires of hell. We are all eternal beings. Now, let us go forth, established in the Word, following Christ, rising high the banner, staying true to the Word, and not being trapped or allowing evil to disguise its faith, but let us be pure men and women of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we have traveled down a long road. And this road, Lord, is not a pretty road because so many people have been trapped. But so many people are being delivered. And now, Father, we know that the truth is found in You, not in an image, not in a picture, not in a sacrifice of man, but in God's sacrifice, the Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, today, I pray, God, that You would bless Your people. And I pray, God, that we would rise to the cause and be bold about our faith. That we will raise high the standard, Jesus Christ, and we will lift up the Word of God and not back up, but we will go forward. We pray, God, be with Your people as we seek Your face. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we share together this morning in a time of invitation, what we are asking for is if you know Jesus, if you would like to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've not accepted Him, I'm going to ask you to come and stand with me, and we're going to pray together. Others might say, I need to go to the altar. I didn't want to, but I bowed to the idols of whatever that might be. And you just want to say, God, I want my life clean. I want my life clean. Many needs. Altars are available. Stand with me. Stand tall. What is God speaking to you today? Let's stand together and sing as people come.